to the G and Ursula Show. So if your kid has special needs or is really struggling with online learning right now, is there help available? How are schools performing for the children who are the most vulnerable? We've got a lot of questions about that, and we've asked Eric Corman with the League of Education Voters to join us on the show. The League is a nonprofit advocacy group that's working to improve education for public school students. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. So we have heard from many parents who are desperate to get their kids back into the classroom. Of course, there's a lot of concern about the lack of learning or mental health issues, students falling behind. But even before the pandemic, there are students who fall into the category of being more vulnerable. How is the pandemic affecting those student populations from what you've been tracking?
Yeah, well, first of all, let me say that I'm a parent of a student who needs special education services. So I see it firsthand with my sixth grader. And there's specific groups that aren't doing as well as other groups, like, in the, as you mentioned, students who do receive special education services, students who are learning English, students who are in foster care, students living in poverty, and students who are experiencing homelessness. And some of these issues involve access to technology, knowing how to get to the curriculum once it is online, and then language issues, of course, and then having to deal with issues like emotional regulation and just understanding, like, what should I do first? They call that executive function, knowing how to prioritize and get assignments done. So all of these things are difficult for certain student groups. And in fact, it's quite a large percentage, really.
Eric, why? Why is this happening?
This is happening because if you're looking at remote learning, you can't have somebody physically with a student. For example, my son, he's really smart, but he doesn't track conversations very well sometimes, especially in a remote situation. So either I have to sit with him or my wife has to sit with him. But if there's nobody there physically sitting with him, he'll miss 90% of what the teachers are saying. And so that's just one example of why it's important for students to get help. Although that's really difficult because, again, we're in the middle of a pandemic, so it's not safe to have students in the building right now.
Are there some options right now that that we could talk about right now that you could say throw this on the table or do this to give some at least quicker relief for people like you and others that are going through the same thing?
Really, what we need is a way to give parents a tutoring, for example, if there's a way to do that. And a lot of this will have to be done after we can get students back in buildings because, again, for students like my son who need somebody physically with them, whatever you do online is really hard. One thing we can do now, though, is give parents resources on how to help their kids manage what they're feeling right now. We call that social emotional learning because this is a tough time for kids and their parents. We talked earlier, I heard on your show how there are these economic pressures that are going on. We've got parents and kids in the same house. I mean, one thing is that kids would go to school and they'd have the stress of trying to deal with curriculum and all the things that cause a lot of stress at school. And then home is their haven. But now, home is where they're trying to deal with a very tough situation in school, and that's not a haven for them anymore. So that's why the mental health supports, knowing how to kind of navigate this time, is super important. So any resources we can give would be helpful for that. And then helping kids prioritize. So, yeah, that's something that we could provide help with.
Okay, so let's talk about that, because we are 8 months into this pandemic. We knew that remote learning was going to be a possibility. My impression and what I'd heard was that school districts were supposed to prioritize and get special needs students. If it's possible to do it safely, they would be the first ones to get back into the classroom for in-person learning. So why is that not happening?
So some districts are starting to do that, but a lot of them are not. Part of it has to do with just logistics. in the case of Seattle, my understanding is that there's still no real mechanism on how to safely get students in. I mean, I think they have two students in the entire district that are
It's abysmal. Sorry. That's crazy.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So yeah, there's no mechanism. There's questions about safety, like is there enough PPE? So that's part of it, that there just isn't a way to do that in Seattle. And it's hard.
Okay, so Eric, you have expressed how difficult it is, and you've done that beautifully. And so what can we do right now? Because anything that we're talking about sounds like in the future, but what resources are there for parents who are in your position and who are struggling and who have these students? And I'm not even talking about connectivity, but just in terms of needing that extra help. What help is out there?
So I feel lucky in that I'm able to get instructional assistance to help out with my son. So it's not ideal because he still needs an adult physically sitting with him. But in his classes, he has an assistant to the teacher who then can reach out to him online and say, hey, do you understand what we're talking about here in class? And so that's something that can be provided to parents, something that can be provided to students. So that's basically an additional adult in the virtual classroom along with the teacher who can help students who need special education services, students learning English, students who have those additional needs that I described. So that's one thing. But again, that just depends on whether or not the student is able to access that technology and whether the student is able to stay focused on the screen. And there are just some students that's really hard to do.
That is the voice of Eric Corman from the League of Education Voters on what Washington students need right now. And Eric, thank you so much for joining our show. But before you go, I was thinking about this and just listening to you. How are you doing? Like you personally, how are you doing?
You know, I am just trying to survive every day, honestly. It's really hard to plan anything because you don't know what's going to happen. I know that the teachers are trying to do everything they can. I mean, they weren't trained to do this. Everyone's got their heart in the right place. I know that, you know, the superintendent of Seattle Public Schools, Denise Juneau, and I'm saying this as a parent, I know she's doing the best she can with what she's got. And I know that the adults in the system don't know sometimes the impact that they have on their kids. So the other day, my son's teachers asked him to look at his grades for the first time, and there were some F's on there, and he didn't see that coming. And my son, he's smart, he's creative, but he also has issues with emotional regulation, and he just lost it, and it was not pretty. I mean, good thing was he could turn his camera off and turn his sound off for the meeting that he was in, but oh man. And so that's what I'm saying. I'm just trying to survive every day.
Well, thank you. And thank you for the work that you do with the League of Education Voters. Is there a link that would help? I mean, if parents are looking for ideas or resources, do you have a link that you would suggest?
You can go to our website, educationvoters.org, and we have a resources page that has it has resources that can help parents sort of navigate the system. We're also part of a coalition, a statewide coalition that works on special education issues, and we've got a great resources page there as well. The coalition, the name is Investing in Student Potential, and the website there is studentpotential.org.
Thank you so much, Eric. Eric is a friend too, a former colleague here at Kyber Radio, and we appreciate you sharing your expertise and also your personal experience. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you for all you do.